The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
And this is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny from our Cork studio at Republic of Work today, and in our Dublin studio at Marconi House is the Taoiseach and Minister for Trade, Enterprise and Employment, Leo Varadkar. Leo Varadkar, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. We're going to talk in just a few moments about the new Restart Grant Plus that has been announced that will come as welcome news to businesses who are hopefully trying to reopen their doors. But can I begin by asking about recent events in Kildare and Laois and Offaly and concern that has been expressed that some people who are awaiting results of a COVID test were going back into factories only to find out later that they were indeed positive for the illness. How concerned are you that that is happening, and what can we do to try and prevent that from happening?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I feel really bad for all of the people in Laois and Offaly and Kildare. They've had to take a step backwards at a time when we were doing so well as a country up until a few weeks ago. And, you know, I really feel for the people who are out of work for the next 2 weeks, for the businesses that are going to be affected adversely. And also, you know, even for people whose weddings or events or holidays have had to be cancelled. But it is necessary. The decision was taken on the advice of the National Public Health Emergency Team that there was a risk of the virus cluster spreading into the community. And that's why the decision to reintroduce restrictions in those three counties for 2 weeks was taken. And it is not welcome news, I know, for anyone living there, but it is necessary to try and contain this outbreak so that it doesn't grow and doesn't develop in the community and then spread to other parts of the country as well. And, you know, certainly in my role as Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, I'll be meeting with the Chambers of Commerce by video conference from those three counties later this afternoon, and we'll discuss what additional supports we might be able to consider to help.
But on the idea of staff going in awaiting results of a COVID test, I know that if it was me, I would avoid going in, but that's okay for me because I run my own business. But what about staff who feel either compelled to go in for financial reasons or, and I'm not saying this is the case in the instance circumstance, but who feel who are told by an employer to come in awaiting the result of the test?
Well, I suppose that does depend on, you know, why the test is being done. You know, whether you work in a meat plant or not, if you have symptoms, respiratory symptoms, the symptoms of coronavirus, well, then you should stay at home.
We're concerned about asymptomatic spread as well. And if someone is a close contact and is being checked as a result of that, should they go to work?
If you are a close contact or a casual contact, then you shouldn't. If you are symptomatic, then you shouldn't. But if you're not a close contact and if you're not symptomatic, then the advice is that you can continue to go to work. But, you know, bear in mind, there is a local outbreak team monitoring this that's led by the HSE, led by public health doctors, and they're engaging with the various companies. And, you know, they're the ones I think we have to trust to make.
But I've been speaking
right
with employers who are concerned that staff members, because of whatever sick pay scheme may be in place, or there may be no sick pay scheme, that they're concerned that employees might turn up, even if symptomatic, because they're afraid of losing their wages. Is that something the government is willing to consider addressing?
Well, I believe we've done that. You know, anybody who is symptomatic, anybody who has been told to stay away from work because they're a close contact, for example, is entitled to the enhanced illness payment. You know, that's something we did a long time ago at the very start of this pandemic. We introduced an enhanced illness benefit payment for people so that they wouldn't, you know, fear loss of income, and that's €350 a week. So I think that sometimes that information maybe doesn't always come across, or maybe particularly if some of the workers, you know, if English isn't their first language, maybe they're not hearing the messages in the same way, and perhaps we need to do a better job there of providing information in different languages
so that they know. I'm trying to get to the point of we've seen evidence now, and I'll come to the evidence that the government had about meat plants and direct provision in just a minute, but we've seen evidence that people who are asymptomatic were going back to work and were being found to have had the illness afterwards. And do you not accept that that is something we have to be very careful with and stop, if at all possible, possible, so that we prevent another 150 people at another facility becoming infected?
Well, I think that depends on what you mean. You know, I'm asymptomatic at the moment, and so are you, and so is everyone here.
Well, neither of us have COVID-19.
Exactly.
And some people who do.
So if somebody does have COVID-19, of course they shouldn't go to work. Absolutely not.
But they don't know they have it yet.
But that's true of you and me at the moment, isn't it? And everyone here in News Talk today. We're all asymptomatic.
Okay.
So you can't, if we say to people that if you're asymptomatic, you shouldn't go to work.
But if you've had it, I will move on from this. But if I've had a test, would it not be prudent for me to wait the 2 or 3 days to get the result of that test?
You see, that entirely depends on the reason as to why you had the test. So if you had the test because you have symptoms, yes, of course you should stay at home. If you're a close contact of somebody who's tested positive, yes, of course you should stay at home. But if you're having a test for other reasons, then it is different. And okay. I hope that makes sense. But there is a big difference between somebody who has no symptoms and has not been in close contact with somebody who's tested positive and somebody who does have symptoms or
Roisin
has
Shortall. Yeah, Roisin Shortall said the Doyle's COVID committee was made aware very early on of the risks to meat factories, the likes of which are at the centre of this current incidence in Kildare and Laois an Offaly. The government knew this was coming, or potentially was coming. Could you have done more?
Well, I think a lot has been done. It's absolutely the case that it's well known that meat factories are a risk environment. We had outbreaks in meat factories a few months ago. We've seen around the world outbreaks in meat factories all over the world. About 250,000 meat factory workers have tested positive for COVID around the world, and in the US over 100 have died, and thankfully we haven't had anything like that in Ireland. We did get to the point for the best part of a month where there were no infections in meat plants, and that was down to the actions that were taken in the meat plants and the inspections that took place and do take place and will continue to take place. But once the virus becomes more prevalent in the community again, there is a risk that there will be clusters and flare-ups in workplaces, in lots of different places, and we know that meat plants is one of those places where it can happen.
We know inspections, and I'm not saying anything about these plants because by all accounts they were doing the right things, but how confident are you that we are doing the right...
I need to bear that in mind, because one thing I do regret that is seeping into the discussion and the debate in Ireland in the last few weeks, which wasn't there before, is this kind of culture of blaming. You know, whether it's young people or American tourists or migrant workers or a particular business, you know, you can do everything right as an individual, and of course you should do everything right as an individual and still get this virus, because it is very infectious. It is a virus. And as a business person or an employer, you can do everything right in your business and still you could find that your shop or your workplace becomes a cluster. And I think we need to be careful not to be finger pointing and blaming people without real evidence that somebody has been negligent or is to blame in some way.
Which brings me to my point that the government has introduced lots of different measures to try and enforce this. And we all accept the point about personal responsibility, but we know human beings being what they are, it'll vary. We now have rules on wearing face masks in indoor places such as shops. The enforcement of that, who knows? We've got police in some form trying to implement, we've got somebody trying to implement a quarantine of people who are coming in from countries not on the green list. We just heard that 96.5% of people who came in on planes never even got a phone call to see if they were there. If they did get a phone call, they didn't answer. We talked about social welfare policing at the airports. That was kind of effective, but probably in the wrong way. And we don't know how many inspections the Health and Safety Authority is carrying out or whether they're properly resourced. All the legislation, all of the rules that have been introduced, people look to government to enforce it, and the evidence seems to be there that it's either very difficult to enforce or the resources aren't there, and that does fall to government.
Well, first of all, with regard to the Health and Safety Authority, which falls under my remit in my new department, the Health and Safety Authority is responsible for enforcing the return to work safely protocol and has carried out about 10,000 different inspections since the economy started to reopen in May, and that's the HSE itself, but also the EHOs and their seconded staff. So there are a lot of inspections going on, and by and large, those inspections have been favourable. Including inspections of meat plants as well. But, you know, we do know in this country how to suppress this virus, how to get down to extremely low levels, because we've already done it. We did it back in June, and we were down to single-digit cases every day. So we all know what we need to do. And the best thing we can do to protect people, whether it's people working in meat factories, whether it's nursing home residents, whether it's absolutely anyone, is to get back to basics and get back to doing things that we know work.
Who enforces the face masks in the shops, Thánaiste?
Okay, well, law enforcement is always a matter for the Gardaí. So ultimately, enforcement is by the Gardaí. But obviously, the first thing you do isn't call the Gardaí. So what we're asking people who work in shops to do is to engage and explain. So say to the person, you know, you need to wear a face mask in the shop. Explain why, because it's to protect yourself and, more importantly, protect others. And then ask them to leave the shop if they refuse to do so. But obviously the enforcement, if it comes to enforcement, is a matter for the Gardaí. But, you know, I think it's reasonable to say to people working in a shop, you know, engage, explain. It's easy for somebody to forget to wear a mask. You know, I've done it myself and had it in my back pocket. So that's the approach we're asking people to take. But by and large, you know, the general public have been very good at complying with the public health advice, and that has made a huge difference.
And we have to accept that as well. And let's assume that if we are being listened to in shops right now, the vast majority of people are wearing them. There will be those who won't, and it's dealing with them will be the challenge. In terms of business, getting companies up and running again, those that are closed in particular, it is a challenge. There was a restart grant, which was quite popular. You're now going at it again with a restart grant plus. What's the difference between this and the first outing?
Okay, well, first of all, this is a new grant. It's the Restart Grant Plus, and replaces and supersedes the original Restart Grant. It's designed to help businesses that are affected by the pandemic to reopen, to stay open, to take their staff back on. And it's going to inject about 300 million euros into small and medium enterprises over the next couple of months. So any business that operates from a rateable premises is eligible, provided you've less than 250 employees. It was 50, this new one is 250, and you've seen about a 25% reduction in turnover between April and June. And obviously you have to either reopen or plan to reopen. You don't have to reopen yet, but you have to plan to. And the grant is anywhere between a minimum of 4,000 euros and 25,000 euros. It depends on your rates bill from last year. And you can use it on anything you need to use it on, whether it's paying staff you're taking back on, whether it's paying some of those bills you accumulated during the shutdown, whether it's making adaptions, and you can apply from your local authority. But there is one significant change since this was announced on the day of the July stimulus, and that is that this is a second grant. So if you're one of the smaller businesses, those businesses under 50 people who already got a grant, you can get a grant again, and you can get the full amount. So say you got 2,000, which was the minimum before, you can now get another 4,000. If you got 5,000 before, you can get another 5,000, provided you don't get more than 25,000 between the two grants. And that's that should be good news to about 35,000 businesses that have already got a grant.
One listener here says, I own a small restaurant in a shopping centre in Dundalk. I employ 6 people. When reopening, we were hit with a bill from our landlord for full rent and rates over the period of being closed. The only help we received was the restart grant of €1,000. The landlord is insisting we pay ASAP or face being closed. So will they be able to apply? They'll be able to get 2,000, which isn't a huge amount of money.
Well, first of all, they already should have got 2,000. So they should check with their local authority, because the minimum amount was 2,000. And they will now get another 4,000. So that'll be six in total. And the other thing they might be eligible for as well, and probably would be, almost all restaurants are, is the wage subsidy scheme. And that will help them to pay some of their staff costs too. And they'll also be eligible for a commercial rates holiday for 6 months. So, you know, we've produced a really good booklet, and all this information is on our department's website. And I'd be really keen that businesses should know what's available for them, because I do feel some businesses probably haven't availed of some of the supports that we have on offer.
Okay. Stephen's in Killarney. Good morning, Stephen. Please ask Leo Varadkar, when do they plan to refinance microfinance? I have an application in for the last couple of months, and still their website says we are waiting to be refinanced.
Today. I think it's today. If not today, it's certainly this week. So the microfinance loans have been really successful. These are low-cost loans for businesses with fewer than 10 employees. And they were so successful that they weren't able to issue more loans because they ran out of money. But we approved more money there last week. So that should reopen, if not today, certainly this week.
Is there anything in place for the outbound travel industry, i.e. travel agents, airline staff, etc.? Reduced payments are now converting into job losses, potentially 10,000 before the year is out.
That's a difficult one, of course, because we're discouraging outbound travel. We're saying to people the safest thing is to stay at home in Ireland. Like any business, they of course can qualify for the Restart Grant, can qualify for the wage subsidy scheme and the employment wage subsidy scheme when that comes in to replace it. The rates holiday. Also, if they lose money this year, they can claim back some of the taxes that they paid in their profits last year. So there are. There are all those schemes and supports available to those businesses. But the real problem they have, of course, is the obvious one, which is a lack of business because people aren't travelling abroad anymore. And that's not something that we can fix just yet, unfortunately.
Yes, and when that business will return. David has a business in Dublin City Centre. We applied for the COVID Financial Planning Grant and COVID-19 Sustainability Fund, but we're ineligible as we don't have 10 employees. We have 8, including myself as director. Having less than 10 employees pretty much cuts out 80% of the companies in Ireland. And that includes the pubs. Many publicans getting in contact with us as well this morning. What can be done for them, Tánaiste?
Well, there are all different schemes and they all have different rules for different reasons. When it comes to the Restart Grant, for example, which is the one that we're launching today, the Restart Grant Plus, that's open to businesses who have any number of employees. So if you're a small business with less than 10 employees, you qualify for the Restart Grant. Also would qualify for some of the microfinance loans, for example.
And just finally, if we can, the front page of the Irish Times this morning, Ireland's incidence of COVID-19 set to surpass UK figures. It is all based on the clusters that are currently subject to the 3 temporary closures. Paul Reid yesterday on News Talk said that he didn't believe it was the start of a second wave. Do you share his optimism?
Nobody knows for sure, but this pandemic hasn't happened before, and what the best modelling would suggest at the moment is we've had the one big wave, if you like, which was the first wave, and what we'll see now is, if you like, a series of mini waves, at least until we get to the point where we've established herd immunity, either through vaccine or through exposure, at some point in the future. So what we're facing is this hammer and dance scenario, this living with the virus, where we will see spikes and we will see mini waves, and the important thing is that we identify them quickly and contain them quickly, and I'm hopeful that's what we've managed to do by containing it mainly in those 3 counties.
Can the economy survive that constant barrage, that uncertainty? Businesses love certainty. If there is no certainty about what's going to happen in 2 months' time, is the economic impact of this going to be far worse?
Well, I think, to be frank, the economic impact is going to be a lot worse than you or I may have thought back in March or April, or even when the government was formed. I back in March or April, if you'd asked me, I would have said that this is going to be a 3-month phenomenon, a single quarter severe hit to the economy, and that we would be in very strong recovery by next year. That now looks less certain, and we're seeing the pattern from all over the world that the virus hasn't gone away, that it will come back and come back to a certain extent, and that is going to have a serious impact on the economy, and that unfortunately is the truth of it. But government is here to try to save as many businesses as we can and try to save as many jobs as we can, and that's why we're pumping about 30 billion euros worth of money into the economy this year, borrowed money, but it's right to borrow that money so that we can ensure that as many businesses as possible survive and that as many people can stay in employment, at least until we get through this.
Tánaiste, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar. Thank you for joining us on the Pat Kenny Show.